Welcome to the Big Fellas Podcast, where we chop it up about all things past, present, and future about the game of basketball. Where facts, stats, and context reign supreme.
That is blasphemous!
Sometimes it gets crazy, but we always keep it real.
Always keep it real.
Get ready to learn from players, coaches, and fans from all levels of the game and see the court in a brand new way. And now, fresh off the sidelines, here's your host, John Hartofilis.
What it do, fellas, and welcome to the Big Fellas Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, JH, coming to you from New York City, the mecca of basketball. Today, I'm excited to be joined by George Mirosan. George is the tallest player in NBA history and the perfect guest for Big Fellas Basketball. In this episode, we had a lot of fun talking about what George has been up to in retirement, his career playing against some of the greatest big men of all time, and what it's like living life at 7'7". We've got a good one in store for you today, fellas. Episode number 25, George Mirosan, the biggest fella. Buona di manita. I had this ready. I messed it up. Wear it. Wait, I'm going to get it. Buona di minata, George.
Buona di minata, man.
Oh, so happy to have you on, George. I mean, really, you really embody this podcast. If there's ever been a perfect guest for the show, I mean, it's you being the biggest fella that there is in the NBA history or really everywhere. So thank you so much.
Let's say one more time, buona di minata.
Buona di minata.
Very well done.
I'm Greek, so I have the whole accent thing down. I choked a little bit.
Are you Greek? That is beautiful. I love Greece.
Really?
Yes. So what part of Greece are you from?
Mainly Rhodes.
Rhodes?
Yeah.
Nice.
Have you been many times or?
In Greece, yes, many times.
Because I'm guessing you played against them too a bunch of times with the national team.
I play against Greece national team a lot of times. I have a lot of friends in Greece. And I play with my club team too against Greece team. I play against a lot of teams in Greece too. So I have a big respect for Greece basketball. They have a great basketball right there. And now not just that one, they have a great basketball players. Start from Nikos Galis, Yanakis, Vasilas Christodoulos till the players playing in the NBA. So,
yep. Of course, there's so many great European players that don't even play in the NBA. They want to just stay there, and people don't know about them here.
Yes, what's happened in Europe? Basketball become explode after the first dream team Olympics in Barcelona.
I mean, we're going to touch on all this stuff, especially with overseas, but really just the first thing I wanted to ask you was, as a kid, did you find basketball or did basketball kind of find you? What did that look like?
A kind of basketball find me more than I find basketball. I don't even want to play basketball, but I just play because I was tall. So the coach knew me because I was tall and they have to make the heights of the team. And I play because I was tall and I have nothing to do in that time.
After a while, once you really got better, you started to enjoy it because, I mean, you were a really hard worker. In the NBA, you won the 1996 Most Improved Player. Like, that must have been a really good feeling for you to really put your all into it and get something out of it.
Yeah, there was more appreciation of my work.
Oh, no, of course. So, I mean, with being tall, I mean, obviously you've been tall your whole life. You wore the number 77. Was that just kind of like to let people? I mean, because I guess you'd be asked it all the time. Is it kind of just like back there? That's how tall I am.
Well, in that time, I don't pay that much attention to the number. Was nothing. Number don't get you lucky, or most of the time you make the number. Number do not make you. Yes, that is true. We was in the meeting in Washington Bullets in that time, and they say, if you want, we can make you number 77. We can get approved from NBA, and you can work 77. I say, that's fine to me. So was more my agent than the team. I don't care about the number in that time. I was just caring to play and to play good and to become a better player.
Oh, for sure. And then, so like when you came here, right, it must have been really tough to pick up the language at first. What was that like for you?
I was paying the bot. Was history right now. was not very comfortable because we have a good team. I wanted to be available to talk with the teammates and understand teammates and the basketball court. At the same time, make me to be extremely focused on the practice. Because when I was focused on the practice, I understand everything what's going on in the court. But to my teammates and my coaches, they have a lot of patience with me at the same time. They don't have to repeat to me two times the same things. I was getting to, but basketball language is pretty international at the same time. I know the basketball language, but the worst was what I have to communicate was my teammates. That was the worst part. But my teammates was pretty patient with me. And slow by slow, I started speaking English. And in the beginning, I was kind of afraid to talk because I was not sure if I put everything in the right place.
Of course. And then, I mean, still, though, I think you did. When you said, I love this game, and when you got drafted, I think you did a better job than I did starting off the show, so.
Yes. That was one of the first words I learning. I was a very important person there, Kim Buhuni. She was in charge with international players for NBA. And she said, George, you really don't know nothing in English. I say, not really. I say, hey, look, how about you go right there and you say, I love this game. I say, I love this game, man. Okay, but look, thanks about your girlfriend. I love you, this game. So this everything started.
No, I mean, it worked. I mean, you won the fans over. I feel like you were just everywhere you went in the league, you were just a fan favorite. Everyone kind of gravitated towards you.
I was kind of me. I was kind of natural. So that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one thing. You were always yourself.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But, you know what? It was a pretty fun time. I have a great time. Even I don't speak English my first year and a half, two, 3 years, I still have a good time. And after I start to speak English, I cannot stop talking. of course, let's say I was broken English, of course.
Yeah, but you just love doing it. That's awesome.
Yes.
Great. So, I mean, you mentioned some of your teammates and how it was kind of difficult to communicate with them. Who are some of those teammates that, like, you know, you still keep in touch with now, and, like, you know, you guys are still really close?
Man, I don't come in an NBA to make friends, but I keep talking with some of my teammates from their time. Or I live here in Washington, and I still see some of them around Washington D.C. One of my first teammates was Michael Adams. I see him many times, and I talk with him a lot of times. And Jim McLovin, I see him a lot of times. And but I see Michael a lot of times. So Harry Grant, I see him a lot around the Washington Wizards too. So I still see some of them around here in Washington D.C.
Of course, that's awesome. And then, like, for example, so you just touched on it now. You're in D.C. now. What's kind of your role like with the Wizards in the right now?
Right now, it's off. Season, it's off. So right now, I don't have any role. But during the season, I work like a team ambassador with Washington Wizards. I have a great job in the world. I do what I love to do. So it's an amazing job. Another thing is just work for Wizards, the team I love it, and it's the team I play first time, and I have the best time here in Washington. So Washington for me all the time was like a second home.
Of course. On top of that, I mean, you obviously did a lot of stuff off the court with some pretty cool moves. You were like My Giant. What was that kind of like? Who kind of thought of that?
I have a meeting with actually it was not there. It was before we go in the well, there was somewhere in 95 before we go on the trip in Los Angeles. Billy Crystal called the PR department in Washington, and they asked if I can't have a lunch with him when I'm in Los Angeles. And they passed the message to me, and I say yes, no problems. And we have one day when we don't have a games, and I say after the practice, I was assuming we have a practice in the morning. I say after the practice, around 1, 2 o'clock, I'm ready to have a lunch with Billy Crystal. And he coming, pick me up from the hotel, and we go have a lunch somewhere close by. And we talk, and he tell me about the script he have and what he have in his mind. And he give me a copy of the script, was like politics. But after I read the story on the script, the story was so beautiful. I say, oh man, look at this one. This is kind of nice. And after that, we still was talking for a long period of time. And we changed a little bit the script to fit me much better. And we start from there. And Billy Crystal, it's an amazing guy. I never see anybody in my life to work around 16 hours a day, every day. And all the time, be extremely positive and extremely energetic. It's very hard to see it. I say, look at this guy, how energy he have every morning, and how much he was working. I was amazed. And I say, look, this is what I want to be. All the time was a lot of energy, ready for everything in the morning. But Billy was amazing. He helped me a lot. I learned a lot from Billy Crystal, and he's my idol.
Well, that's so cool. And I mean, when you were younger, did you ever watch Friends, the TV show?
Yes.
Did you ever see, I mean, you must have seen it, the scene with Joey Tribbiani where he goes, he's on the plane with Chandler, and Chandler's trying to get up to go to the bathroom. And he's like, man, I'll never be as good an actor as that giant, man. Why? What? He's just so much taller than me. And he's just so upset. What was that like? What'd you think of that?
That is part of the life. It's a lot more worse and better than worse about me. So it's not, I don't get excited when I hear about me.
Yeah. The one thing I really wanted to ask you that when I saw this, I was like, okay, I have to ask him how this happened. How did you end up in My Name Is by Eminem? What did that look like? That's awesome.
Oh, my name is what? I was the same. I was here in Washington. I was Indian that year. And I mean, Dr. Dre called my agent and they asked if I can be in an Eminem movie for like 30 seconds. And we make a deal, and I decide to go to fly to Los Angeles and do the film right there. So I never heard about Eminem before, but I meet him there for like a half hour. And he was not this very spectacular for me. Was a shorty guy, was a nice voice, and very smart too. At the same time, he's a very smart person. And was my agent to make this deal.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Was pretty cool. And after that, when he starts to become bigger and bigger, and Dr. Dre told me at that time, he said, look, Eminem gonna become very popular. It's very good. So I was enjoyed to do that. It was like a 30-minute job.
That's super cool. And that's another thing. I've seen that video so many times. And then I watched it again, and I saw you as the ventriloquist. I mean, that's for the people that can't, like, haven't seen it. You're the ventriloquist, and it's really, really to see you in that too.
I have a great time when I do that commercial with the sneaker. That was one of my favorite. That was one of my best. When I did the commercial with sneakers, the first one was a good one.
Oh yeah, and I saw the one you did with the cologne. That was funny too.
Yes, that was that was one of my favorite ones. The most important is I have the opportunity to do what I love to do, and that was the biggest things for me. Just playing in the NBA and work so hard. I don't even realize I have to work so hard, and I work so hard because everything coming from the pleasure and was a lot of excitement.
No, of course. I mean, if you love what you're doing, it's not going to be work at all. Yeah, I'm sure you wake up and you just love. I mean, whether it's helping out the Wizards or all these cool things you're doing. The other thing I want to ask you about too was, I mean, I know your son. Your son, little George, just graduated from Georgetown. What was that like for you watching him? And then obviously I want to talk about Victor, who's coming up now.
Yes, I'm very proud of George. He just graduated this spring, and he got a nice job, and he go back to the school to do his master's degree. So I'm very proud of him. So all his life, I tell him, I say, look, basketball is a very short part of your life, but basketball gives you lots of opportunities.
Yep.
But to be a professional in basketball life is very short. But you have to have a professional. So he was more academic, and he was focused a lot on academics. But all the time when I go to his game, it was very exciting to see him play, to see him on the team. And I know how hard you work in the school and practice. And it's not easy to play in college when you want to do both, school and basketball. Yep. It's so hard.
Of course.
So I'm extremely proud of him. He's in better shoes than he used to be.
For sure. And then how's Victor doing?
I wish I'm like him.
You do?
Yeah. Oh, I wish I was like him when I was in his age. Oh, yes.
I mean, that's great. And yeah. then how's it Victor? I know he's a little younger. He's just starting, right? Where is he?
He's at Georgetown right now, first year.
Okay.
He's starting a business there, and I hope he's going to stay healthy. Hope he's going to play a little bit. And I hope he's going to become a very good businessman.
Oh, no, of course. No, that's fantastic. You get, the situation they're in is fantastic, where you're at Georgetown, which is one of the best schools in the country, right? You're playing for Patrick Ewing, number one, but also just a fantastic program with a lot of history. And then on top of that, you're primed for success after you graduate.
Yeah, so look, we was in New Jersey until George was like 6 years old. We moved back here in Washington. So one time I take him to see Georgetown University. He was like around 6, 7 years old, and I take him to see Georgetown University. And when we walk on the campus like that, he said, "This is beautiful." He say, "When I gonna go to college, this is the college I wanted to go." And from that day, that he just won, I go to Georgetown. So he got opportunity and he go for it. He do very good in school all the time. Very smart kid, and I'm very, very proud of him.
Awesome. Yeah, so, you're obviously doing a lot of really cool stuff down there. What's can you tell us a little about the Giant Basketball Academy?
After I retired playing basketball, I take off for like a year and a half, and this time I stay in Romania a little bit more longer with my family because I have to catch up, because all the time I was away from the family, and I say, okay, I can catch up, and this time was my family. My wife, she catch up with her family, and we kind of stay there for a long time, and we come back here, we go back, and we was up back and forth for like a year and a half, and I say, I have to start to do something because I'm going to get crazy. I say, what the heck I can do? Everything what I do in my life was playing basketball, nothing else. And I said, I have to do something to spend more time with my kids. George was like 4 years, Victor was like 2 years old. And I decided to open a basketball academy. And like this, I know the kids in the morning, they're going to be in the school. Kindergarten, and after they go to school, they're going to be in the school, and afternoon, they can be with me in the basketball court. And like this, I can spend more time with my kids and learn, and like this, we grow up together. So this is what I started the Giant Basketball Academy, and we become very well, we do very well. And we used to have a lot of kids before last spring, was the pandemic coming and broke everything down. Hope this is going to go away soon. And we start to do different programs, we start with summer camps and basketball leagues. And we do a lot of basketball leagues and clinics and summer camps. And I work with the kids 6 and 14 years old. Younger kids, and I have a great time. I have such a nice feeling when I see these kids, how much they improve. And they come in for 8-10 weeks, and I see they how much they improve in a couple of weeks. This makes me feel more important and feel like I help these kids with something. So that's what I'm starting with this. So now we are off right now until we see how will be the situation with the pandemic right now, with the COVID-19. Hope soon we can start again and continue to do the leagues and the camps.
Oh yeah, of course. That's awesome. And everything you're doing is great. And it's awesome that you're able to spend more time with your family and keep on getting all the joy you're getting out of coaching the game.
Exactly. Being the basketball, I tell you the truth. After I started playing basketball, I started playing when I was 15. And look, man, all day this is what I was doing, playing basketball. If you want to be good in basketball and whichever you want to be good on, you have to put a lot of patience and you have to work a lot. So I was in my head was only basketball every second. Yeah. And all the time I work to get better. And I spend most of my time just working.
I mean, you must be really happy right now.
You know what? I'm very happy. Yes. I'm happy because the kids, they're doing very well in the school, and I'm happy in what I die. If I have to start doing again, I cannot do better than I do.
Through that, I also saw something about how you've really been pushing for 3-on-3 basketball. Well, what does that look like for you? What do you think about that?
Yeah, we started this league 3-on-3 a couple of years ago, and this was crazy when we started. A lot of my coaches and the parents, they was not very... very exciting, and in the end they become extremely exciting because the kids get improved. And 3-on-3 is it's amazing sport, because for the kids they learn more in 3-on-3 short period than 5-on-5. They cannot hide during the game 3-on-3. They have to become involved, and they have to discover themselves. So for the kids to discover themselves, it's a great game to play 3-on-3. Even in NBA, during the practice, sometimes you do some drills on 3-on-3.
Yep, of course.
Yeah, because it makes you to be more active on offense, more active on defense. So we start to do leagues in the fall and the spring 3-on-3. And they have very big success. And I'm pretty big fan of 3-on-3. And I think for the kids, it's unbelievable game and sport, because they are active and they get involved. They cannot hide. They can get involved with the ball. And that is the reason I believe it's a great success for the kids 3-on-3.
Of course.
And right now, it's another thing. It's Olympic sport right now.
That's so all it will.
So everybody should play 3-on-3 right now. Everybody should start to play. First of all, you're getting better, and you add more 3-on-3 if you are a kid than 5-on-5. Because if you are a little bit more timid, you have to get involved.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, so I mean, obviously, when you came into the league, and like you're they're all games where you're playing at in the 90s, some of the best big men of all time, right? And there's no standing in place or hiding from a guy like Shaq or Hakeem or David Robinson and stuff like that.
Look, NBA is the top of the top league in basketball in the world. And NBA at that time was around 400 some players. Right now it's around 500 players they play right now. But to play in NBA, you have to be special. You cannot be just a basketball player. You have to have something special to play in NBA. And these special players, they are around 500 players.
Yeah, out of the millions in the world, yeah.
Yes, it's easy. Sometimes it's easy to become an NBA player, and it's very hard to stay an NBA player.
Yep.
It's very hard to become an NBA player because you have to have a lot of tools and you have to be extremely special.
Oh, definitely. You were able to do things on the court that a lot of other people couldn't do. And that got you to the NBA. So then you get to the NBA and you're going up against guys like Hakeem, Shaq, David Robinson. Which one of those guys kind of like such a shock to you to play against them?
Shaq was not either one. I love the competition, so it was not that big shock. But every night was different. I don't see one night the same. I don't see one team the same. Only things that I can tell you, after I play against Shaq, I have to eyeball my shoulder, my hips, my knee. He was heavy player, extremely good player, but extremely heavy, very powerful. And you use a lot your shoulders, your eyeballs, your knee. You use pushing him around and get your position. He was an amazing player, and God bless him. Shaq, Patrick, Alonzo Mourning, Hakeem Olajuwon, Rick Smith from Indiana, they were extremely talented players.
Oh, for sure.
But again, this was the biggest competition, and this is what I love, to compete. But every team have somebody good in the team. Everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I don't say, okay, tonight it's easy night. No. You never say that in the NBA, because the teams, they have a full of players. So everybody just want to go in, and even bench players, they just want to come in the court, prove the coach they are very good players, and they deserve more to play. And they come in to beat you. They come in to become better player. And you cannot sleep against anybody.
Of course. I mean, they're all so good. And it's interesting when you talk about how just every single night was a tough competition, because, I mean, think about how many Hall of Fame big men played in your era. Almost all of them. When you talk about the top 10 big men of all time, seven of them played the same year as you were playing.
So every team's want to go. Somebody's right there. I remember when I played against Dikembe Mutombo, everybody was afraid of him.
Yep.
He was an unbelievable player. He was a great defense, one of the best defenders in the NBA. But I was lucky to play against these guys, and I'm lucky I can be friends with them. We compete in the basketball game. We compete in the court. We give everything, but after that, right now, we look back and we can smile.
Definitely.
And we can shake our hand and we can talk right now.
And that's the spirit of competition, the fact that, you know, you guys can be arch rivals on the court, and then you guys walk away from it, and there's so much respect there, of course.
Oh, yes. It's a big respect, and I love these guys, and I wish them well.
Of course. So, I mean, another guy who's very similar to yourself, Manute Bol, I was on a 10-day with the Bullets when you were a rookie, and I didn't know that until I looked it up. So, I mean, what was that kind of like, you know, having two of the tallest players in NBA history on the same team for a short time?
Yeah, he have a 10-day contract with Washington Bullets in that time here. It was good because make me pumping up a little bit. But during the summers, Manute, he was live here in Washington, so we was practice together all summer long. He was a great guy. He talked a lot, that's it, but he was a great guy.
When you guys are playing those one-on-one games, I mean, what was that? Did you guys check in at the top of the key? Was it all post-ups? What did you guys do?
We play a lot of one-on-one, yes. We play before the games all the time. you know what? We was like two little kids in the basketball game, in the basketball court. We do everything. Check in the top, just play post, everything.
Okay. Oh, awesome.
Yeah, Manute all the cool. time. Say, George, I play better there. I say, Manute, you just keep losing against me all the time. But right now, he was the winner. God bless his heart. Yes, yeah. he was a great person. I see him last time, 2 years before he passed away, and it was very sad moments when I hear he passed away. So,
of course, no, definitely. Rest in peace to Manute. Yeah. I've obviously never met him, but I've always just heard nothing but great things about him.
He was an extremely nice person, and I wish his son Bol Bol gonna get better and better every year.
Bobo's just so good. You saw, I mean, did you see what he did in the bubble where he just went in and just, and first game he was playing, he's still considered a rookie now too, which is awesome. But he goes in, I forget what team it was. He was lighting up from three. He was doing everything, bringing the ball up. It was great.
Yes. Yeah. Hope he's going to stay healthy and going to play better and better.
Obviously I wanted to talk to you really quickly about the bubble, but what is that? I mean, seeing how the big man position has evolved in recent years to where you have guys, I mean, like Giannis is kind of like the modern NBA big man where he's bringing the ball up the floor and making plays.
So look, I know basketball has changed a lot. Crazy a lot. You see the players, they are a lot more athletics right now. They have a lot better ball handle skill.
Yep.
They shoot much better right now. Technology, everything is different right now. You know, in 20 years, everything's changed. And mm-hmm. the coaches get better and better and better. The players, they get better how they work out. The kids, they start to a lot of better practice right now. So that means last 20 years, basketball improved a lot. And you can see right now, you can see in my time, big men, they play under the hoop and that's it. Mm-hmm. Right now, they play in and out. And every team, they're looking for players. They can play in and out. They can defense multiple position. They can play multiple position. And I think basketball this time, it's much faster. It's a lot much technical. Players are much better in these days. And the basketball game is much, it's much fun to watch right now.
And it's interesting you say that because most people that played back then would always say that, like, oh, you know, LeBron wouldn't survive in the 80s or 90s. You're acknowledging how every single year it just gets better and better and better. And 20 years from now, we'll be saying the same thing.
Oh, yes, yes. LeBron and 20 years ago, maybe we'll be different players. Because 20 yep. years ago, he don't have technology, and the technology,
of course,
it's right now.
Yep.
But... the technology right now, look, 20 years ago, we don't have a shooting machine.
Yep.
Right now we have a shooting machine. You can stay right there and you can do in a 60 minutes, you can do almost 2,000 shots.
Yep.
You can't do your cardio on the shooting machine. So all this agent, the technology of the food, the nutrition right now, it's big difference.
Yep.
And the workouts is big difference, and everything right now is changing. And in 20 years we learn, and the players, the coaches learn to how to get the players better and better.
For sure. No, it's definitely happened. But at the time we're recording this, the NBA finals, the game one's on tonight. How excited are you for what series we're about to see?
Man, I want to see a good game. That's it.
Yep, same here.
Yeah, I just want to see a good spectacle. When I watch the game, I want to watch a spectacle.
Yep.
I want to see players play hard. I want to see players finish their shots, go to the hoops. I want to see block shots. I want to see defense. I want to see everything tonight.
Yep.
So who's winning? I don't care.
Surprised me,
Miami. They become a very good team in this playoff, and in the bubble and Orlando, they become a surprising team. And surprised me how good they play against Boston. They kind of shut yep. down Boston. They play very smart and very good. Lakers, they play like how they play. They have a great team, and it's very hard to keep up with two the best players in the NBA right now.
No, of course. Yeah.
And when you have two best players in the league and the same team, it's so hard to keep them and stop some players. Nobody player just coming like Caruso and become a great player and have a great playoff.
Yep.
And it's so hard to keep up with them. But now I want to see how Miami gonna distribute that defense to keep up with Los Angeles. I want to see how the system and how well they put together the rotation against Lakers. I want to see this. This is going to be very interesting for me. I want to see how Miami execute against a good defense like Lakers here. All this, I want to see a good game. And the end of the day, this is what I want to see. I want to see a great final. I hope we're going to go to 7 games.
Yep.
And because right now I have not much to do right now, so I have to stay and watch some games right now.
Same here.
I miss watching too. I watch basketball, and I hope I'm going to start soon to watch college and high school basketball too. Because sports get mine away from a lot of stuff when you watch sports, and this is exciting.
And like, that's the same thing I think about that too, because I mean, there's no real like favorite team. I'm not like, you know, dying for one team to win. I just want to see if every single game ended in a close game. I mean, that's all I could ask for.
This is what, for me, this is what I want to see. I want to see close game. I want to see exciting game, and I don't care who's winning or losing. Don't make me feel better or feel good for one team or another team. I feel good when I see a good basketball game.
I really hope it goes 7, because we don't know when basketball is going to be back after this. So, I mean, just keep on letting it go as long as we possibly can.
I hope in January we have NBA basketball, and I hope we can watch a good game in January. But right now, the situation that we are in now, it's not a good situation for sports and for everything else. I used to love to go to the Wizards game. I used to love it. And right now, this is kind of take away from me because of the pandemic. And I hope we're going to go back on the routine when you can go to the game and you can hear the crowd cheering for the team and get their gym energy. This is what I miss. So all the time when I go to the Wizards game, I was looking forward to see their energy, what was going on in the gym, fans and the games. So this is what I'm missing right now.
And hopefully we can get it back really soon. So George, I mean, thank you so much for coming on. I mean, this was a great talk. I had so much fun. I've laughed so much during this whole thing because, I mean, everything we're talking about is great.
Man, I'm so happy I see you, and thank you to invite me. And I wish you luck. So
thank you.
I hope you're going to do one day the Greek version too.
Oh, μπορώ να μιλάω λίγο ελληνικά. Αυτό είναι πολύ εύκολο, αν θέλετε. Do you know any Greek or no?
I know.
A little bit?
A couple of words, but I just say good hi, goodbye, and all this kind of stuff.
How do you say goodbye in Romanian?
Goodbye. Oh, sorry. La rivedere.
La rivedere, right?
Yeah, la rivedere.
La rivedere, George.
Okay, la rivedere, man.
Thanks for listening to the Big Fellas Podcast. Check us out on all major social media platforms at Big Fellas Pod to join the chop up. You can also listen to us on every podcast platform on the planet. Stay tuned for the next episode, Big Fellas.